I check it like you read Sinkball in it, yeah? I really don't mind. You hit me once,
I hit you back. He's bowling like my Auntie Annie when she'd had too much sherry to drink. Played over my head,
then I set fire. मैंने कहा बेटा बेटा होता है और बाप बाप होता है.
You know, this season, obviously, we have to address the elephant in the room. Help us understand the COVID situation. Do you expect any schedule changes, venue changes, or how do you see media presence there? I mean, especially with the very recent events in South Australia. Do you see any, foresee any changes? I'll tell you this. So we did a podcast with George Dobell and Mohammad Asif earlier before the England and West Indies series. So we were like, oh, what's going to happen? We don't know how cricket will be played. So some jitters. Before IPL started, again, some jitters. We had CSK and a few other guys from them, testing positive. Again, what is happening? What's going to happen? So in view of the recent events, do you foresee anything happening, or are we, or generally, how will cricket be played? Will there be media presence? Will you be covering from the ground?
Yeah, I mean, you spoke about the South Australian situation, and I told you guys off air, like, that affected my life definitely, because I had to jump into a car and drive for 20 hours to get to Sydney. But thankfully, that lockdown's been lifted as of midnight yesterday. Because what they thought had happened hadn't happened. And you guys know what's happened, the whole drama with the pizza delivery guy and all that. I don't get into that. But that means that at that point, we did fear that maybe the Adelaide test might be postponed. In fact, when I left home, I told my wife, I might be back in 3 weeks or in 2 months. And she didn't seem to care. So, well, anyway, but we'll come to that some other day. But there was that fear. But now that that's been controlled, I don't see any, foresee any change in the schedule per se. In terms of media presence, it's going to be a very strange series because there's no Indian media, right? I mean, nobody, of course, the team koi marmar ke they brought them here, so they don't have, there's no media. So even though I'm now the Australian correspondent, I'm the only brown guy who will be around, except Gav Joshi, but he sounds Aussie, so doesn't count. I'm in his house right now, but anyway, so we'll be the only kind of Indian representatives to an extent, but there is no other media. But it's going to be a strange series, so I will be at the ground, hopefully, touch wood. I am accredited to be at every venue to cover the cricket, but we won't have our traditional press conferences. Like, the Australians will be doing everything on Zoom. The Indians, Bhagwan Jane, we don't know what approach they're going to take with the media, because they haven't done any Zoom calls throughout this year. And during the IPL, from what I learned, it was very strange. You had to write down your questions and send it to them, and someone would ask them. So I really don't know how it's going to be. We will find out the next 3-4 days. I told you guys also earlier that right now they're in a quarantine. So to watch practice, I had to I felt like some foggy guy. I was crawling through the bushes and thorns everywhere. Still, I just come back from there. So if the first thing I'm doing after this call is to get, pick out the thorns from all over my body. So I wouldn't even call it access. That's the only way we could see them practice. So I've been told that things will improve, but this Adelaide situation might have sent some panic, I guess. So the Indian team and the Australian team were hoping that they would have a lot more freedom once the quarantine ends. At least they'll be able to walk around. Like in the Sheffield Shield, we saw you could get takeaways or you could sit at places which had outdoor seating, but not go inside the cafe or a restaurant, and definitely not a pub. But I don't know whether those things will change. The Indians would really hope that it changes, because they've been in a hub, in a bubble for the longest time, right? So they want to move around. So that we'll find out in 3 or 4 days' time. But it's going to be a very strange series because, the media coverage is going to be minimal. Everybody's going to unfortunately have to cover it from India, the Indian journalists anyway. And even for us, will I be allowed to watch Nets? I don't know. I've been told yes, but we'll find out in 3 or 4 days' time, yeah.
So now coming to bubble life, as they call it, a few of the players during the IPL, especially Rabada, during the end of the IPL said it was affecting him, and that kind of reflected in his performances as well. And now Australia, with the likes of Warner, Smith, Cummins, Hazelwood, have been on the road since September starting. They played the ODI series with England, then they played IPL. Do you think it is going to have an impact on the series in terms of their performance, or do you see them being rested? And something similar may happen with the Indian bowlers or Indian players as well, Bumrah, Sami. How do you see that? What's the discussion being like over there?
It'll definitely have some impact. Yeah, I think Jofra Archer's quote from, what was it, July or August, where he said, there are only so many bubbles you can like stay in before you start losing it. I think it's a very strong quote, because you speak to these guys, even at least the guys at the Sheffield Shield could move around. But you listen to like with Rabada, or you speak to the Australian guys here as well. It is very taxing because you're just stuck in a room, right? Like, you know, you're stuck in a room. You can't, right now the Indians can't even like see each other. They like, once practice is over, they go back to their room. Like, you know, but that's only that much Netflix or that much Amazon Prime you can watch. After a point, it will start getting to you. So it's a very difficult, like, you know, these are professional sports people who are paid a lot of money to do what they do. But what they've been asked to do here is not what they signed up for. It's a very unique challenge. So in a way, it's quite unfair that they are in this position, but it's great that they are still going through with it for our sake. Will it affect performances? Like, oh yeah, you asked me about whether they would be rested. The Australians, they've hinted at like maybe they'll rotate their bowlers. So for them, the most important thing is they need to get them to meet family. Like, you know, Christmas period is really big here. So even though they might still be in a bubble sort of situation, they have to make sure that they get access to their families, because Smith and Warner and these guys haven't seen their respective partners and kids since, like, you know, for the last 3 or 4 months. So not much of them anyway. Yeah. So there's only those many Telugu songs that David Warner can dance to before like you start playing the game as well. So I think they will have to do that. Like, maybe we might see them skip, a couple of them skip a couple T20Is, I'm guessing. I don't know, because there's still like, what, 9 days between the end of the T20Is, or at least 3 days between the end of the last T20I and when they're supposed to assemble in Adelaide, the Australians. With the Indian setup, even if they rest their players, like, we're still talking about not just a 2 month bubble here, but also a 2 month bubble leading into this in the IPL, and also like a 3 month lockdown in their own respective homes before that. So yeah, by the end of January, like, they would definitely be knackered and would want to go home. Hopefully that happens by like mid January and not by mid December. So it's going to be a huge challenge. Some of them have come with their families, like Pujara and Ashwin, and I think Ajinkya Rahane, which is good. So like, it's good for them. At least they have like a break from bubble life, or like, you know, at least they have come someone to talk to in their room. Like, so I wonder if they like just scream through the doors. I don't know if that is allowed, but that would be, I would have done that. So it's yeah, we'll have to wait and watch. Like, it depends a lot on how much freedom they get after the 14 days, which is what ends on 26th, so that's 3 or 4 days from now. If the bubble stays strict, yeah, you might see some, it might start affecting people quite a bit.
Right. So, talking about Indian players, I mean, we can't, go beyond and not talk about Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma. You know, the kind of unsaid rivalry, you know, captaining the team, being there and so on. So, how do you see this whole situation? Do you see, for example, if Rohit was allowed to, let's say, at least in the ODI series, captain, and there would have been different people playing in the sides. You know, maybe we could probably not see Pant. Maybe we would have seen more of Ishan Kishan. And how would Shaw play then? Or will he at all play? How do you see these two bigger, names when they captain or when they're not select? Affecting the team selection?
See, I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. Okay. I still watch a lot of WWE and follow all that. So for me, like, the way the relationship gets spoken about, it almost seems like, you know, a tag team who won lots of tag team titles, like, you know, in the ring. And then at one point, especially with the WWE, Shawn Michaels had to super kick his partner, right? Like, that's how, like, so they does lead to some friction at some point. So I think there is some truth to the fact that, like, you know, but you're talking about two extremely successful sports people with two really big egos, which they deserve to have for like all that they've achieved in their professionals, in the same room. Like, you know, and these things happen all the time. But the thing is, I find it very amusing when people talk about that being carried onto the field. So one thing I've learned from covering cricket for so long is that there might be differences in the dressing room. There might be differences away from the field. But it's very rarely that you'll see it, like, you know, play out in the middle. And when you speak of, like, you know, should, like, because that is the debate right now in India, right? Should Rohit take over as white ball captain and all that? I don't see any change before next year. I think Virat Kohli will go into the 2021 World T20, T20 World Cup. You have to realize he's never captained in a T20 World Cup before.
World Cup.
So 2016 was Dhoni. And a T20 World Cup in India. So if he doesn't, like, you know, he can go another 50 years without winning an IPL trophy. But if India don't do well in the T20 World Cup next year, then maybe you can start talking about, oh, is it time for him to go, or whether it's, like, you know, and by that time, he'll be a father as well. And having seen Virat Kohli, thankfully, he is someone who has a perspective to life, like Rohit as well. Like, you know, that's the best thing about those two. This is not the all they have in life. Like, you know, that's one thing which is very refreshing about not just those two, but a lot of cricketers that are coming through the ranks now in India. They seem to have a life beyond it. So, which is good. So, those things will change. Like, Rohit's already a father. Virat's going to be a father. So, who, like, you know, they'll both be 33, 34 next year. So, if anything, I think we need to start looking beyond those two to maybe a
them now. Okay. Yeah.
Reyes Iyer, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, inko abhi Hall of Fame mein dal do, or, like, you know, naya koi.
But talking about the current series and the impact of Virat Kohli. So, he'll only play one test and the rest of the three tests. He'll not be available. So how do you see the promotion of other guys? Do you see a lot of KL Rahul playing and then making impact? Do you see Rahane being one of the main contributors, or do you have other views about it?
I think what India will miss Virat Kohli leaving is not just the run. See, he didn't have a great series by his standards last time. He averaged 42, I think. He made that great 100 in Perth, but otherwise he was up and down. It was all Pujara. Like, you know, it was just Pujara last time around. So, but I think it's not just the runs, but just that presence. Like, just imagine, like, you know, close your eyes and think about Tim Payne walking out, like, for the toss on Boxing Day in MCG. Okay, it's going to be half full, but still. And then alongside Ajinkya Rahane. You know, just that picture. I'm also, like, I've also bought into this whole hype around, like, this Kohli-led series in Australia. But generally, it's very similar to last year in Sydney when Tim Payne and Tom Latham walked out. Like, Tom Latham, again, like, he's done really well in Test cricket. He's like Rahane. Like, he's got a great record. But just that personality-wise, it just, you know, it's just something missing. It's just, like, it just feels a little flat. I mean, having said that, India have no choice. Like, Kohli is going back. So, KL Rahul's thing will depend completely on how his one day series, and, like, I saw him bat today, and he was batting like a dream, like, even from the bush, whatever I saw, like, you know, so he was batting like a dream, and he's had a great IPL. So he's the man in form, but you have to realize that he's been brought back into the test squad, right? So there are the likes of Shubman Gill and those guys still waiting, and India do not have too many reserve middle order batsmen, but they have, like, in Rohit, Prithvi Shaw, Shubman Gill, and KL Rahul, four guys who could potentially open. But maybe, like, also come into the middle order to replace Virat Kohli. So Shubman Gill, in many ways, is up there. Like, you know, he's in, as of now, ahead of KL Rahul in terms of test selection, purely because he is the incumbent, right? Like, though Indian cricket doesn't, like I said, it's not as sarkari as at times Australian cricket can be, selection can be. Well, I still think they might get, like, Gill might be the first front runner to replace Kohli at number four, but who knows? Things can change. There's a long way to go for that first test.
Right. So now you mentioned a couple of these guys, at least the ones that who will definitely play. You know, you talked about Virat Kohli, Chiteshwar Pujara, Rahane, maybe Gill or Rahul. How do you see them in the rank of threats for Australia or biggest contributors from Indian side towards the whole series?
And the one man we have not spoken about is Mayank Agarwal. Like, and he, the way he's been batting the last few years and the way he plays spin, right? Like last time we saw him make his debut on Boxing Day at the MCG, he made runs. He made what, 70, 80, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But the way he played Nathan Lyon, he attacked him. Like, you know, he used his feet, and which could be the X factor in this batting lineup. Nobody's talking about poor Mayank. Like, he's had like
a... Also, he's coming from a very good IPL season.
Exactly. And these are conditions he would love to bat in, where there is not too much sideways movement, or not, there would be, but not as much as you would find in New Zealand or those pitches that they played in New Zealand anyway. He, like I said, if he can survive that new ball, he's someone who can put pressure on Nathan Lyon from the start. Like, you know, he can put the pressure right back on them. And you guys would have seen with Australia, especially in Australia, for all the talk around Cummins and Hazelwood and Stark, Nathan Lyon is the fulcrum. Like, you know, they all revolve around him. So if you put pressure on him, because he just look at it, like, he's bowled more overs than any other bowler in the last 10 years. Because he bowls a lot of overs and he creates that pressure. So if you kind of take it, like, you take him on from the beginning, like Agarwal will, if he like survives the new ball, which he should, he could be a key member there. So he, for me, is that unspoken, like the unsung potential threat for Australia in their batting lineup. And it will also depend on how he goes in the one days and T20s in terms of confidence. But he is India's number one opener right now.
Right.
And like Prithvi Shaw is just an X factor. Who knows? Like, I mean, he was here last time. There was all this hype around him. Then he got injured and he didn't play. We saw him in New Zealand. That's the thing with Prithvi Shaw. 15 minutes of Prithvi Shaw and you think today is his day, right? And after 15 minutes, like, you know, there's that one shot he plays and it's all over. So you just don't know with him. Very unfair comparisons with Virender Sehwag, but like very, very early on for that. Virender Sehwag started his test career with 100. So did Prithvi Shaw, but I think that's where it ends for now. Maybe one day he'll become Virender Sehwag, who knows? So if Rohit Sharma doesn't come in time or doesn't come at all, who knows? It's all up in the air as of now. Prithvi Shaw will be your first opener in that first test. And that's the thing with Prithvi Shaw. You look at these conditions and the ball coming on and all that, maybe he should succeed. Like, you know, as Bombay journalists, we've seen Prithvi Shaw from, like, people will tell you, some people will tell you they saw him, like, from the time he was born, which maybe is true, I don't know. he's one who, he's like, you know, he's the opposite of Jim Morrison. Like, you know, when Jim Morrison passed away or disappeared, people kept saying that, he's still alive, I've seen him somewhere. It's similar with Prithvi Shaw, the other way around. Like, people have said, nahi, haan, man, usko dekha,
dekha
chokha maar. So it's always like this squabble in Bombay journalism circles to see who saw him for the first time. So I digress, but like Prithvi Shaw could be, like, you know, who knows? Nobody's talking about him, so maybe that's what he needed. He comes to Australia for the first time with no hype. KL Rahul, like, just the way he's been batting, you know, he's like throughout this year, even in New Zealand, like the white ball stuff, he just seems to have taken his game to another level. Like, he might well be the best T20 batsman right now in India. It would be tough to argue against that. So if he just like scores a lot of runs, it'll be very difficult to resist that temptation to just bring him in. Like, you know, if he scores a couple of hundreds, like, I honestly believe I've used that term too much, but like I like wanted to stick my neck out and say if Shreyas Iyer had a great, or he still does have a great one day series, India has not still named a replacement for Virat Kohli, right? There's no replacement. You can always hold him back. Like VVS Lakshman, we spoke about scoring that 167 in 99-2000. They actually held him back for the one day series purely based on that one innings. So if he has a great one day series, he is a established number four batsman with a spectacular first class record, who also in the last year and a half or so has come into his own as Shreyas Iyer after that World Cup. This I'm saying with pure, like, I've not heard about this from anywhere. This is completely Bharat theory, but like, who knows? Like, I'm not ruling that out. Like, if it happens, then like, yeah, hopefully we'll plug this podcast again and say he said it first.
At least about Iyer, you would have a clear winner here.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
So now coming to, there are also white ball games, guys. India, Australia are playing, not just test. Coming to the Australian side of the white ball things, Bharat, do you see Aaron Finch as a captain lasting for two more World Cups, a T20, and then maybe a third white ball ODI World Cup.
I personally like Aaron Finch. I think he's like, he's that lovely country boy who speaks his mind. He's honest. He's loving. I really have a, I almost said I have a thing for Aaron Finch. Maybe I do. But like, so see, they again, it comes back to the Australian culture. I think till the time he keeps scoring runs and they have been winning a lot in T20I cricket, I don't see them being forced to make a change. Like who do you go to? Pat Cummins is vice captain for every team right
now. Yeah.
Like, you know, they've just like, and every time he does a press conference, he's asked about it. And he's not captained in his life much. So they've like, you know, at least till last year, they had co-vice captains. So now the poor South Australians, Travis Head and Alex Carey, have been stripped of that title as well. So who do you go to if not Aaron Finch, right? I think it's still early for Pat Cummins with a fast bowler with, okay, he's physically at the, like, you know, at the best he's been, but Australia don't like their fast bowlers playing all the formats all the time. So you can't go to him as captain at the moment, right? So I think Aaron Finch, the age he's at, like, he is like, yeah, he's on the wrong side of 30. He can definitely continue for another 2 years. I don't see Aaron Finch going anywhere. And he's very consistent in international cricket. Like, he's like one of those guys like Martin Guptill, who just don't seem to fire in the IPL. I don't know what it is about the IPL, but there are some guys who are so consistent in international cricket, but just can't turn it on in the IPL. I don't know. So Aaron Finch is, I don't think it's going anywhere.
So from one Australian captain to another, two parts to my question here. First, is Tim Payne currently the best wicketkeeper batsman in Australia? Second, is he only playing as a wicketkeeper batsman because he's the incumbent captain and he has been winning? Another, I'll add a third part. Who do you see as a captain post Tim Payne?
Oh, lots of heavy questions.
Yeah.
I think Tim Payne will be the first person to tell you that he's not the best batsman wicketkeeper in the country. But the fact that, like, he went, what, 13 years without scoring a first class 100, but now he's made two in the space of 11 months. Like, it's like a sign that maybe he's actually coming into his own as a batsman. So I can just tell you that this time in Adelaide during the Shield, he spent like copious amounts of time in the nets, like working on his batting. And we saw him then score that 100. So he is really focusing on his batting, because it's interesting with Tim Payne. Like, you know, I'm segueing into your second, to answering your second question, because he always talks about his role in the team in terms of scoring runs as a bonus. And Justin Langer does that as well. So I think there's much more to what Tim Payne brings to this team than just catches and stumpings and his runs. Like, you know, he's really a very good wicketkeeper, which is like, you know, he's very good standing up, standing back. He works really, really hard at his cricket. But I think he, that's the thing, right? He was a child prodigy who everybody said he was going to be test captain when he was 15 years old. Of course, it didn't happen for 20 years, but now he's doing it. I think it's just like tactically speaking, strategically speaking, and also that very unsung, and living in Australia, you would have heard of the term tall poppy syndrome, right? Like, Australians have that thing. They want their captains to be someone that they can relate to. Like, you know, that's why Michael Clarke always divided opinions in Australia, because he was a superstar, right? He dated models and, like, you know, he lived a very lavish lifestyle, at least or that's what it seemed like. But with Australia, they like their Tim Payne, they like their Steve Waugh, they like their Mark Taylors, who like them, like, you know, who've been through ups and downs and come through the system, and now things are happening for them. So I think all that, like, works in his favor. And I've seen him captain his team to victory last year in Manchester. Like, just the way he used his bowlers and the fields he set and the energy he brought. Like, you know, often you hear of batsmen and bowlers winning test matches. That was really his... I've rarely seen, it does happen, but he really captained his team to victory. So it's unfortunate that he hasn't played, hasn't had a test series in India, because if you are a foreign team, like, you need a test series in India for people to start talking about you, right? Like, you know, yes, even though he went to the Ashes, it was all about Smith and Marnus. Like, you know, last time India came here, India won. So Tim Payne's really not got that recognition. Maybe this is the summer of Tim Payne in terms of people really realizing, oh, like, this is why they keep picking him. Because like with Finch, he's going to be here till at least the Ashes next year. And after that, who knows? Yeah.
Great. So Now, if you had to rank between Smith, Warner, and Labuschagne, how would you rank them, basically? Who are the bigger threats for India? Or any other player apart from them?
Look, I mean, it depends. Like, David Warner in Australia is always a challenge, right? Like, he just, going back to 2014-15, like, you know, amidst that drama, he set the pace. And that first 5 overs, he just destroyed everything. They were 40 without loss. And Australia really never looked back in that series. So, he is a huge threat. And he had, like, a dream summer last year. Like, he just was scoring runs for fun. And he's growing as a batsman. Like, even though he's 34 now, he is really growing as a batsman, and he'll have a point to prove to the Indians. There's always been that thing that he hasn't had great series against India in the last few years. So he is always a threat. Steve Smith is just Steve Smith. Like, you know, and it's going to be so much focus on him, how to get him out. Will they bowl short? Will they bowl full? And he's always a threat. But for me, Manas Labuschagne is the guy, because he has such a simple technique. He's got great temperament. He has great composure. He is a maverick, but he owns it, and which is what I really like about him. Like, you know, people always talk about, he copies Steve Smith, or he's like this, or he's like that. He's different and all that. But yet he seems to own it, and which shows in his cricket as well. Like, he just is obsessed with batting and being out there. Like, even during the Shield, like, he's just like bouncing around, like, even whether he has the ball in his hand or not, he's the loudest to appeal. Not just with the bat, but just as a presence on the field, I think he's something that India have not encountered before in an Australian team. And they've seen a little bit of him here and there in one day cricket in the last year, but he is the number one threat, because like Pujara did last time, he could just bat India out of the test match or end the test series maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, probably with bubble life coming into the picture, probably Smith will lose himself, and Labuschagne may come into four. And do you think Labuschagne is now rightly the top four, replacing Root? I mean, because Martin Crowe had said that about the top four, or the Fab Four as they call it. Now Labuschagne has gone into that Fab Four category. Mm-hmm.
I think David Warner has, like, more than Manas Labuschagne. Like, Labuschagne, I think, still has some. He has to score in this series. If he does well here, he's still so young. I mean, he still hasn't played in New Zealand. He still hasn't played in India. He's played that one series in the UAE. So, I think Manas has a long way to go. And, yeah, Warner has not scored too many runs in England, or he didn't in the Ashes. He's been up and down in India. But as an overall, all-format batsman, David Warner, it's unfortunate he doesn't get spoken about being in that top four. He's definitely up there. So, but Manas is still a long way to go. Like, you know, he's special. He's just had like the greatest 18 months ever. You know, you spoke about Bradman and all. Like, he has batted like Bradman, seriously, at times. So, not like any of us have seen Bradman, for good reason. So, but like, yeah. So, he's really, really special. But or at least Ek Do Saal. Like, he needs to score runs everywhere before he gets, put in that bracket.
I'll go on one question, really. You talked about Smith not being able to captain the until the next Ashes. Also, maybe Australia will play the world, the Test Championship. Now, I just very quickly wanted to touch upon this aspect. There have been some rule changes. India and Australia probably will be the two, or unless you see any changes there.
I think it will be an India-Australia final. Like, right. The way it's going and what's left for them to play. Yeah, and the fact that England have to play in South Africa, in India. They're not playing tests in South Africa, but the only series left for England is whether it's in the UAE or in India. I think it will be in the UAE, I don't know, but like, yeah, I think it's going to be an India Australia final at Lords.
Right. So, English seem to have been a bit pissed, obviously, maybe with the rule changes, probably all, or what is also surfacing is that there is not a financial agreement as in place between the ECB and the ICC. Do you see actually it going away from Lords? Or if it does, what is the most appropriate venue to play the first ever WTC final?
Oh, right now in this world, it's so difficult to say, right? Like, yeah, eventually, like, you know, if things go, because that's a time of the year you can't play cricket in Australia because nobody cares about cricket at that point. So you can play like the greatest series of all time, bring back all the masters, still nobody will care about cricket. So you can't play it here. But like, you know, the ECB have also spoken about how they've spent so much money last time around or this summer that just passed. If they will be in a position to do it all over again, and they've just gone into a lockdown, right, a few weeks ago. So
yeah,
it's so much conjecture about like where we will be as a world, as people. I mean, we didn't know about Zoom till 6 months back, did we? Like, yeah, so here we are on this. So there's a, like, who knows? You never know. We might end up playing it in some like Morocco or somewhere, like wherever you're allowed to play it. Like, so I think, yes, very early days, if personally speaking, if things improve in India, I think because where India,
June,
like the, yeah, that's the problem again. So it's monsoon. So you can't play it in India either. So you're left with very few options. England is the only option. I mean, you don't want to play it in Barbados because nobody will be able to watch. So
New Zealand khel lo yaar, khali hai.
At least 3 din mein match khatam ho jayega, which is good.
Acha, Bharat, moving, just going back briefly to your MSD encounter. I was just watching some podcast last week where Sakshi, his wife, said that till 2014, apparently MSD every night used to eat butter chicken and butter naan.
Hmm.
Was it the case when you were around him as well?
No, if you go to his Twitter handle as well, that's what he says, right? Like a butter chicken lover or something he calls himself. So, but that is, that the butter chicken thing was the case from the time he was in his early 20s or in his teens. So every time he came back to Ranchi after doing well, or even after not doing well, because those things never seemed to affect him, there was one dhaba where he would take, put all his friends in the jeep, regardless of what time of the day it was, and they would go and have butter chicken. But he did then, like she says, in 2014 or 15, he started thinking about after the 2015 World Cup, especially, the 2019 World Cup became like a goal for him. Like he would talk about it all the time. And that's when he changed his diet. I remember him telling me, like, you know, he's gone, he only eats grilled chicken these days. Like, you know, he was eating only boring food during that period. So his whole focus shifted to the 2019 World Cup. And I remember by 2016, he'd become like fitter than ever before on a Zimbabwe tour. Like the first time I saw him on that tour, one of two journalists on that tour. He was captaining a very young Indian team. And in Harare, I remember him walking towards the nets. And I just looked at him and I said, yeah, you're really like giving me a complex. You can't suddenly start looking that fit. Like, yeah, you know. And that's when he looked at me and he said, yeah, this is the problem with you guys. When I'm not fit, you have. Like, if I don't look fit, you have a problem. If I look fit, you have a problem. Like, yeah. But I said, no, it was just a personal thing. Like, you know, I need to look into a mirror as well. So, yeah, that was a big change in his life, though. Like that 2015 World Cup. So he changed his diet. And, yeah, you still see him. He looks so fit.
Cool. And we won't keep you too far from your dinner. Last question, and I'll probably start with Shivam. If you had to call the outcomes for T20, the ODIs and the Test series, what are your prediction? Who's going to win? Our Australian from Noida can start.
I think I'll go T20s 2-1 to India, ODIs 2-1 Australia, Test series 4-0, 4-0 to Australia.
Oof. And Sumer?
You went the McGrath way there. Huh? I think T20s, Australia will win 2-1. One day, I'm not able to put my finger on it. I don't know what's going to happen in Australia, in ODIs. India has a good team. So I think India will probably win the ODI series. I'm not sure by what margin. I would not say that they will whitewash them, or I think it will be 2-1. And the test is, I think India might win one test, so it will be 3-1 for me.
One test? For me, it's going to be 2-1 T20, 2-1 to India, 2-1 to Australia in the ODI. And yes, it's going to be a clean sweep for Australia in the test series.
Oh my God.
They're going to win it 4-0. How about you, Bharat?
Of course, like after listening to you three, I have to say something different. And I will, because we are in Australia. You've forgotten a very, very important part of Australia, which is weather. And there have been thunderstorms. So I'm going to say one day CA is going to be 1-1 because one will be like washed off. Every time India have come here, there's been one white ball game which gets washed off. I think the T20 series, Australia seem to be on a roll. Have been in the last 10, 12 months. So I see them winning it 2-1. India will win that one game. Actually, you know what? No. I think Australia will beat India 3-0 in the T20s because nobody seems to care about it right now. And see, the test series, you know, it for me, it depends on how that pink ball test goes, because we don't know how India are going to be. We don't, like, they played against Bangladesh in Calcutta, but it doesn't count when you're playing in Adelaide. So like, all this talk of them not having played, beginner's luck, maybe. So I actually think they'll win in Adelaide because there's so much hype about Kohli. He's going to do something. India will win in Adelaide. I still think Australia should win. And MCG, we have not seen a result when there are two good batting lineups together at the same time. So I don't see that happen. Maybe Australia. No, actually, you know what? I think India is going to win again. Yeah, 2-1, they're going to win. They glow up.
Okay. You heard it first on Pie Chuckers Cricket Podcast. Bharat saying 2-1 to India. Is it?
So will this be bigger than last year?
Yeah, it's always bigger than last year.
With that, we are done for this episode. Guys, if you like it, if you don't like it, do let us know. You know our Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all social media handles. Please do let us know how did you like this episode with Bharat. Thank you so much. Till next time, bye-bye and take care.
Thank you.
I check it like you read Sing Bell in it, yeah? I really don't mind. You hit me once,
I hit you back. He's bowling like my Auntie Annie when she'd had too much sherry to drink. Played over my head, then I set fire. I said,
beta, beta, hota hai aur baap, baap hota hai.